Shall we read together in the Gospel by Luke and in chapter 10 this time? Luke's Gospel and in chapter 10. We read from verse 1 just for connection. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Look down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Just notice that last phrase especially. Because your names, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Now turn over to the last book of the Bible, please, that we've read from already today, the book of the Revelation, and in chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look at chapter 20, just up the page a little. Verse number 11 says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Verse 15 says, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that is our reading, and we trust that God will be pleased to add his blessing upon it. I suppose it's now over 50 years. History will record for us, and it has come to the attention, I suppose, of the public in a very prominent way in the last few weeks or months, perhaps. There lived a man in Nazi-occupied Germany, or certainly occupied territory, by the name of Oskar Schindler. He's a man who now has gone down in record, has been for many years, come to the attention afresh of the people of the world. The Jewish nation some time back recognized his tremendous feats and achievements. What did he do? He compiled a list, and on it he put the names of some 1,000 Jewish men, women, and children. He managed to convey to the authorities of his day that he needed them, and in his own way he managed to save them from absolute and certain death. The path to the concentration camp was beaten. Thousands upon thousands trod it daily. The incinerators burned, and the smell of the dead was noticed for kilometers away. But there were 1,000 people on Schindler's list that never perished. He was a man that managed to save, comparatively, a few. But every man on that list, every woman, every child, they escaped the fires, the sentence of death. Many of them survived. The nation to which they belonged revered the memory of the man. He was a man of dubious character. He's not here, he's not being upheld even in the world as a man of moral virtues or moral worth. For whatever his reasons and whatever his motives, Oskar Schindler managed to save those people. Because they were on the list, they never perished. My friends in Vancouver tonight, I have come to speak to you not of the exploits of any Oskar Schindler. I have come to speak to you this evening about a list of far greater proportions. I have come to address you on the subject of a man of infinite moral worth, of impeccable stature. A man of virtue that excelled every man that ever lived in the world. And I want to tell you that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ by name, has managed to save and will save thousands. They number not in hundreds. They number not in thousands. But the day will come when earth has passed and gone forever, and a number that numbers in thousands of thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, will be saved from hell. And their names are on the Savior's list. On the Savior's list. Now what is on my mind tonight is this. As I address this company of men, women and children, of many and diverse races, of different backgrounds of culture and religion, it is not our business tonight to inquire as to where you've come from, your background socially, religiously or politically. We have come to say on the authority of the Word of God, heaven is only reached by a place in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there is only one way, irrespective of color, class or creed, by which the sons of men will walk the street of gold. And that is those who personally have exercised a faith in the one who died upon Calvary's center cross and become identified with the Lamb's Book of Life. Let the world commemorate the list of Schindler. Let them rightfully respect the memory of a man who, for motives known to himself and for ideals that only himself could establish, managed to save a few. We come tonight to exalt the memory of a man who never sinned himself, but who died for the sins of a perishing world. And we have come to speak tonight on the virtues and values and what it really means to be on the Lamb's Book of Life. Just give me your ears for a few minutes, and we'll look at three passages from the Bible that tell me in clear, unmistakable terms what it means to be on the Savior's list. And I want you to scan your life tonight. I want you to turn back the pages as one day the books will be opened and the records of life will be unfolded. I want you to do that in this John Oliver auditorium tonight. And I want you to see if written into the record of your life there is an experience and a moment when you become identified with the man who died at Calvary and you see yourself on the Savior's list. You pardon that simple expression and that simple illustration. I want you to see, friend, that to be on the Savior's list or to be in the Lamb's Book of Life as it's properly identified in the Bible is the greatest cause for rejoicing that the world has ever known. I see 70 men going out empowered by the very Lord himself. I see them performing feats that have not been known in days that followed. I see the power that he gave them over demons, over spirits, over serpents. And I see the joy with which they fulfilled their ministry. And I see them coming back at the end of the chapter, and their hearts are bursting with joy. And they see something of the worth of what it means to the length of Christ. He says, I want to tell you something. Rejoice rather in this, that your names are written there. My friend, tonight, there are people here of far greater intellectual standard than I will ever achieve. Your names tonight adorn the certificate on the wall. Your degrees have been achieved, your master's obtained, your doctorate perhaps a thing of the past. There are boys and girls into high school, and those that aspire to great things in the world. There may be successful businessmen in the company tonight, and you've reached the top of the ladder, and you've prospered in Canada, and the Lord has blessed you. I want to tell you, if as yet you have never found Christ, you have missed the greatest cause for joy that the world can ever know. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Let it be a million that is won on earth. Let it be the highest prize achieved. Let it be the world record broken. Let it be satisfaction and joy that surpasses anything that presently you've known. To die at last without a Savior is to miss the whole point of living and to perish beyond the reach of mercy forever. Nothing can equal the joy of God's salvation. I want you to know that, friend. When we preach the gospel, we preach it not only, and we do, not only as an escape from coming judgment, but tonight we hold out, as our first speaker has done, the glorious invitation of the gospel of Christ as the most positive thing that a man or woman can ever possess. Nothing in the world can equal it. If as yet you have never tasted the joys of salvation, you have never lived. You have never lived as yet. Said the Lord Jesus, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Fill your days with pleasure, if you will. Go after the sport of the world. Go and dance till the disco lights are out in the early morning hours. Listen to the music. Becomes tired and your ears are weary and your eyes are heavy. When it all is finished and you turn out the light and face the reality of the great eternity, if you haven't Christ, you have nothing. And don't forget that then. Young friends in tonight's meeting, where every prospect pleases and only man is vile, to have Christ as Savior is of everything that's worth having. To miss him is to die in the dark and perish for all eternity. To be in the Lamb's book of life is the greatest cause for joy that the world could ever know. I look back to a day when as a boy in the city of Belfast, far from here tonight, a little boy in a back bedroom of a little house off one of the main roads in the city, when I took in the glorious truth from the Word of God, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that night, was the greatest night in all my experience when I found the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I have three daughters, and I'm proud of them as any father would be. They have given me much joy. They have come to share their peace, and they have come to share their successes. We are glad to hear of everything and every success that comes their way. I want to tell you, there were three nights in my life that gave me greatest joy, second only to my own salvation. And that's when it came, as the years of life went by, I said, Daddy, I got saved tonight. I got saved tonight. I got saved tonight. The greatest single cause for joy that the world has ever known. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I challenge tonight's company, the men and women that are here from Vancouver City with all its beauty and charm, the boys and girls, some from Christian homes, and some that might never have heard the gospel, make it the main business in your life to find Christ, and to be sure that wherever else your name is found, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. Sister, why is it so important? I'm not much for religion. I don't think I would ever really take a big interest, and it's all right talking like that and offering it and speaking about it, but I'm not really into religion. There's somebody here like that tonight. I want to show you, friend, that to be in the Lamb's Book of Life is vital, not only for rejoicing on earth, but for the right to enter heaven. The single right to enter heaven depends. What is chapter 21 tells us, we have just used the verses simply in a gospel application. Neither shall there enter into it anything that defileth. That city bright, the wonders of that heavenly scene,
where all is joy and night will never come, and tears are never shed again, and all is happiness forevermore. Heaven with the redeemed and with Christ. How do we get there, Sistenbury?
The Lord says through John in the closing verses of our Bible, only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Says somebody, I thought it was only the Protestants. Says somebody else, I thought it was only the Catholics. Says somebody, I thought it was the Jewish people. Says somebody else, it's the Muslim faith. I want to tell you, friend, we speak tonight irrespective of every class and creed and color distinction on earth. I want to tell every man that's here from front to back, whose faces I cannot see in the back seats of the auditorium tonight, I want you to know the only way to heaven is through faith in a man who died on Calvary. The only way to that blessed abode. Peter the great apostle stood one day and preached, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men on earth whereby we must be saved. We haven't come to preach a particular religion. We're not interested in getting you to change either from yours to ours or some other type. We have not come to look for new members for a denomination or for conscripts of any kind. We have come to say Christ died for the ungodly. He gave his life upon Calvary's tree. He shed his blood that sinners of every race might be saved. Red and yellow, black and white, whatever be the distinction in color, class or creed, I want you to know there's a place in heaven that you can fill. Since Jesus died at Calvary, no other way, no other door that can be opened, said he, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And the right to be in heaven comes only to those who claim a place on the Savior's list, if we put it like that, those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now it's vital, absolutely vital. You may hear our friend Schindler's name mentioned. You may go to see the story. You may read about it in the press. Every time you see its letters graven before your eyes, ask yourself the question, am I on the Savior's list? Am I saved? Will I escape the wrath that's coming? Because I want to tell you, friend, tonight, the third important reason why you should find your place on the Lamb's Book of Life, please think about it, the greatest cause for rejoicing, the greatest claim to a right to be in heaven. I want to tell you, friend, the Lamb's Book of Life speaks of the greatest rescue. Chapter 20, our brother is in air, a little in his opening remark, in his opening message tonight. I see as time is no more, and earth is faded, and Vancouver City is no more, and the beauties of British Columbia are a thing of the past. And as earth has crumbled and faded, and suspended in space, is a throne sparkling in its whiteness. And there sits upon it the man who died on the middle tree at Calvary. It says the book shall open, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. On what does the rescue from hell depend? On what does the rescue from the lake of fire depend? An entry in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let us be clear about it. We speak of its positive character. Find joy in Christ tonight. Seek the Savior. Find a place in heaven at the end of the journey tonight. Seek Christ as your Savior. Escape the wrath that's coming and a place in the depths of the lake of fire. If it wasn't in the Bible, we wouldn't believe it. It's true, friend. And you've heard about it already. And the only people that escape, those that are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would it be worth your consideration tonight? In the summer of last year, I was on holiday. Fine summer evening in the month of July, my wife and some of the children were inside the apartment, and I was outside lighting a little barbecue fire on the patio of the apartment we were staying at. I made a mistake. I know that. I put a couple of firelighters on the pan, I pressed the charcoal on top of it. I put a match to the lighters, and I stood with the bottle of liquid in my hand. We've all done it. And people have said to me, now you shouldn't do that, you know, but we've done it before. You men in the meeting have probably done it. So I scooted it all over the charcoal. It wasn't lit, but there was just a flickering flame on a little fire lighter. And I scooted the whole, standing with the liquid, a lovely summer evening, under the shelter of the patio. And suddenly, a little flame caught the spout of the lighting liquid and went up into the bottle and exploded the bottle in my hand and set it on fire completely, my whole face and chest and arm and hand. My wife was inside the apartment, and I staggered in just in flames. I could scarcely get a breath. The skin of my hands was hanging like a rag of a shirt. My face, I had my glasses on, my face, my eyelashes were burnt. Whatever little hair I had at the front was gone already, and a little remained, and I was scorched, and I was on fire. My wife knew what to do, fortunately she was there. And she got me under the shower in the little bathroom and turned on the cold water. And as it poured upon me, and it was dreadful in the extreme, the agony I would never wish to experience again, and the only relief was the water as it poured out. Every time they changed the spout of the shower from my face to my arms, the pain was unbearable. It went across my mind. I could scarcely stand. I could scarcely think. You know what I did think? Oh, dreadful thought in hell to be, never to come back anymore. When a man cries for water, cries in vain. Maybe you didn't know that some of you, since the last time you saw me, I've had a new face since then. The old skin was burnt off completely, and it gradually renewed my hands and all the rest. I want to tell you tonight, you stand under threat of a fire that will never go out. Now remember that. You boys and girls in tonight's meeting, the wrath of God hangs over your head. Millions and thousands and hundreds of thousands of men 50 years ago marched the beaten track to death without a hope. And they perished under the atrocities of that awful regime in days gone by. The only thousand that escaped were the men whose name were on the list. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. In Vancouver this Lord's Day evening, this fine night, with health and strength you hear the message of the gospel as the Lord says, come. You hear the entreaties and the grace of God, and we point you again to a cross upraised outside Jerusalem's walls. Is that the Son of God died there, that guilty sinners like you and I might be saved. If you put your trust in Him, you will be saved and escape the wrath of God forever. The challenge of the gospel tonight is this. It's a glorious story. Well might we sing, I love to tell the story of unseen things above. We love to preach of Christ and the unsearchable riches that are linked with Him. To tell of provision tonight for every man that's here. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't stand on the platform for to preach the gospel in Vancouver. We bless God for one who died and whose precious blood was shed, who made atonement and who made salvation available and possible for every man of Adam's root and race. We look into your face tonight without knowing who you are. We say, none need perish, all may live, for Christ has died. Make sure before you go to bed tonight that you can look up to heaven and say, I know my name is there. For as a simple sinner on the road to hell, I put my trust in Him. And that's all that matters. I may lose a fortune here. Every man that is Christ has a hope that shines above the gloom of earth. You may lose everything here, but there is in Christ an eternal salvation. He says, I give unto them. Eternal life, and they shall never perish. Within your reach, dear man, tonight, young people in the meeting, sitting with the privilege of the gospel falling on your ears, before you leave tonight's meeting, before you sleep another night,
with the awful threat of the wrath of God above your head. Turn to Jesus. Look to Jesus, weary one. Look and live. Look at what the Lord hath done. Look and live. See him lifted on the tree. Hear him say, come unto me. And tonight in this meeting, in all its simplicity, ensure my name is in heaven, for I have trusted Christ. I have cause to rejoice. I have a right to be in heaven, and I have been rescued from eternal woe. Faith in Christ is the answer. We preach it tonight. Only trust him, and you will be saved forever. To the Lord bless you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the glorious message of the gospel. This sweet invitation that comes still to the ears of men. Come, come unto me, come, for all things are now ready. We thank thee for everyone that has responded. We look back in our life to days when we heard thy voice and we did come. And we pray tonight as we close the meeting and end the days of conference that there is somebody in the meeting that will say in effect, Jesus, I will trust thee with my heart, with my soul. We pray for thy blessing upon every young person here, growing up in a world of sin and sadness and shame. Oh, tonight, give them the joy, give us the joy of knowing that their souls are saved and that they're ready for heaven. We thank thee for the glories of heaven that do shine before us. We bless thee for escape from hell and the lake of fire. But oh, we trust tonight that some in simplicity may recognize the importance of the gospel tidings and accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We ask thy parting blessing. Take everybody home in safety. Bless all who have heard thy word in these days we have been together. And make the Easter Conference at Vancouver, 1994, a time to which some will look back and say, it was there that God blessed me. We ask thy blessing in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Now, shall we sing a closing hymn? I think the time has gone, but maybe just as it's the last meeting, we may take an extra minute or two to sing a verse or two of number 335. 335, we'll sing perhaps verses 3, 4, and 5. Verse 2 says, once from my God I wandered far, and with his holy will made war, but now my songs to God abound, I'm standing on redemption ground. Sing in truth tonight, verse 3, O joyous hour, when God to me a vision gave of Calvary. My bonds were loosed, my soul unbound, I sang upon redemption ground. The last three verses, we thank you for your attention to the word of God. We trust that God may bless the company, especially those not saved, that it may be for you a night of blessing and salvation. Verses 3, 4, and 5 of 335, and then our meeting's over.
Oh, joy.